Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, a Subaru WRX STI Review Special Edition. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew.
So, we've swapped it around a bit this time, because you've not got a big SUV, or you've not had a big SUV.
No. I was allowed something rapid.
Allowed? I like the way you say that. There was, just for context, everyone, the number of times I was asked, Would you mind if I asked Subaru for the WRX? No, Andrew, on you go.
And how many times did I say, are you sure you don't want to drive this?
Oh, four or five. That's how many times it took me to have to reassure Andrew that I wouldn't be upset or annoyed if he had the WRX.
And was that or was that not a lie? You were upset.
No, because I had the Civic Type R. So, I'm not upset, but I am also holding that particular, I would say a trump card, but I don't want to say that anymore. No. I'm holding that particular card for the future, so that just in case there is something, when something particularly nice comes along, so, no, you had the WRX.
Yes.
So, anyway, enough waffle. You had it for a week, didn't you?
I did. Yes, I did have it for a wonderful week, which wasn't long enough, in my opinion. And I took it round my town. It did school runs, much to the enjoyment of my children. It did some B roads, A roads, dual carriageway motorways. It went through all types of weather, including snow, sleet, ice, rain, sunshine, the whole gambit. Some of them all in the same day as well. It was given a full proper test, I think.
So just in case people don't know, do you want to explain just what a Subaru WRX STI actually is, or at least what it looks like?
Yes, it is a family-size saloon-type car, which is about 4.5 meters long. And what helps to make it stand out is the massive wing on the boot lid. Really quite large boot wing. It's a four-door saloon, obviously. You know, apart from the wing and a few stickers on this, well, not stickers, but badges on the side. It just looks like a saloon car.
Hang on a minute. Hang on. Sorry. I'm going to pull you up. It just looks like a saloon car. So,
to the uninitiated.
Really?
To the uninitiated, apart from the wing on the back.
And the great big bonnet scoop.
Yeah, okay. There's a big bonnet. But there's bonnet scoops on Jimny's. But, oh, I did giggle looking at the bonnet scoop, though, like a child. I am a big fan of bonnet scoops.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was for a reason.
Yes.
It was used.
It's keeping that intercooler cool underneath there.
Mm.
So you had it in blue as well, didn't you? Because
That has to be the only colour.
Yeah.
If you're going to have it, it has to be in the blue. It just looks fantastic in the blue. Apart from the history of the WRX that used to be the Impreza. Apart from that history and classic colours, but it really suits the blue a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, nice. It's a nice colour. Irrespective, as you say, irrespective of the history, it's still a nice colour and it still looks great. I actually prefer, unlike you, because I know I can see his notes, folks, who prefers the matte gold wheels, which to me mean that you have to have a pit bull in the back as well, you know.
Well, I was thinking about that because I think the black wheels that it came with,
mm-hmm.
they suited it rather well. It was, again, this is sort of in relative terms because there is a huge bonnet scoop and there is a huge wing on the back.
But Did it make it subtle?
It was, yeah, it was a little bit more understated. I know, right. That sounds ridiculous and it does sound daft, but it suited it very well, I thought. Because all I was thinking was, yeah, because gold is the classic way and maybe, you know, that would have, if you are a wallflower, do not drive it if you get gold wheels.
No, not at all. Well, even if you're not that much of a wallflower, it's still pretty standoutish anyway.
Yeah. But I gave some details about this, actually, hadn't I?
Yeah, you probably should, actually. That was my intention originally, and then we went off on a...
Yeah, we did have to explain it a little bit. This came with a 2.5-litre petrol injection engine, flat four boxer engine, which makes a fantastic sound. Oh, God.
It is a boxer engine.
Yes, it was such a wonderful sound. There was a few days I did drive with the heater on full and the windows down, and there was no radio or anything. I hardly ever used the radio because I was too busy listening.
you did exactly the same. When we first drove, I think it was the same car, at the SMMT day in September, you did exactly the same thing. you had the windows down and were sitting there at the traffic light.
Yes, I am a child when it comes to that, but it just made such a great noise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, getting down to some of the boring bits before we can get on to the really exciting. Okay, now this, the combined MPG is apparently 27.2 officially. When I drove very gently, I got it up to a maximum of 25. But I didn't really get it much over 20.
Great. That's quite bad. Well,
yes.
It depends what you're doing. I mean, the thing is that when you've got a car like this for a week, it is quite tempting to just to hoof it quite a lot of the time, really, isn't it?
Yeah. To put it in sort of context, 25 miles to the gallon is pretty much the same as what I get out of the Saab.
Yeah.
Most of the time, except for if I go on a long journey.
And it's all sensible and architect-y.
And similar, yes. and similar that if you were sat at a reasonable speed on the motorway, you are looking at nudging it north of just north of 30 miles to the gallon as well. So it's not completely outrageous. We're not talking hypercar miles to the gallon,
mm-hmm.
But we're also not talking, you know, executive diesel saloon type stuff, which nobody would expect.
No, I think you'd be a bit of a nutter to expect that, to be perfectly honest.
Well, yes, quite. It emits 242 grams per kilometre, which puts it in a VED band of L. So right now, up until mm-hmm. April the 1st, that's 500 quid a year. So
huge.
So getting quick, though, because from April the 1st, it's £1,700 a year.
And it's not even over 40,000.
No.
Gee, these new tax rates are going to be such killers. I don't want to go off into this because that's a new show discussion, but wow.
Yeah, I didn't realise quite how
evil they are.
How hard they are going to hit.
Hmm.
But yeah, because it's a high-performance vehicle, so obviously it was going to be emitting more more grams per kilometre, which was understandable. But so just bear that in mind. If you are on the fence of getting one, stop. Get off the fence and go buy it now.
Yeah, especially as when you come to sell it again, then it'll also be worth more because people won't have to pay that much per year in tax.
Yeah, exactly. But also, and this is something I tried to get my head round the entire mm-hmm. time I had it. It's only, and I know this is a relative term, but it's only £31,180.
Yeah, it's a bargain. It's always the Subaru, the Impreza Turbos, WRXs have always been. There's always been a bargain. Yeah.
For the technology and the performance it gives, and the practicality, actually, in it, I mean, I'll touch on that later as well. I am genuinely surprised at the price when you consider there are other vehicles out there that don't provide as much performance and charge a lot more. So,
mm-hmm.
Well done, Subaru, on that. Just amazing. As we do now, I did have a quick glance to see what sort of contract hire prices were out there, and if you give a deposit in the region of £4,000 and you're doing, say, a maximum of 8,000 miles over 36 months, 8,000 miles per year over 36 months, you're looking in the region of £450 to £500 a month.
Okay, that's not too bad.
No.
Not really.
And this has a 3-year, 60,000 mile warranty as well.
Okay, so that's pretty sensible as well. So.
Yeah, so that's the sort of more sensible end of this review.
Good.
And so, I'll try not to punctuate the rest with going, wee!
Well, do you want to get that bit out of the way next?
Yeah, okay. The driving.
So, come on. What was it like to drive?
It was... I'm going to preface this. This was the quickest car I've ever driven.
Right.
However, at no point at all did I feel worried behind the wheel. I felt completely safe, completely in control. There was at no point was I worried that, oh, perhaps this is a little bit quick for this. It made me feel so secure with the steering, the grip, the brakes. The brakes are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
At no point did I hit the brakes, even when I first got in the car, and make people shoot forward in the seats or anything. The brakes were progressive and they were biting where I was expecting them to bite, and they stopped where I expected them to stop and how I expected them to stop. The brakes are truly amazing. And the steering is wonderful, very direct, as you would expect. and the steering wheel was great in the hands when you're driving along, and you really do feel part of the whole thing as well. It's not, oh, I feel safe because I'm so detached and I'm away from everything and I know there's lots of clever things happening. It wasn't like that at all, even though there is clever technology going on through the SI drive, and you can adjust the central diff, but I didn't because I was on public roads with lots of traffic in various, mainly grotty weather conditions, so I didn't want to play about with any of that.
Did you the SI drive that you mentioned there, so that's the kind of drive modey,
yes,
selector, isn't it?
Three settings. Yes, there is intelligent, which is effectively auto, and that reacts to how you're pressing the pedal and how you're just driving along at that time. Then there is sport, which makes things a little bit louder, a bit more tightened up. The accelerator is a bit sharper, that sort of thing. And then there's sport sharp, which does that more so, much more so.
It's like sport, but more.
Yes. And that is a wonderful setting if there is an empty road. And you know that road. That is a fantastic way to watch the fuel gauge plummet towards the empty end.
Oops.
Because this car encourages you to drive. And the noise of it encourages you to press the go loud pedal.
Yeah. Yeah, it would do. What was the ride like? Because I've seen some other people say that it was a bit hard.
Well, that I was worried about that because I'd seen that, and you know, I had the family with me, and I had a stern judge next to me in Mrs. Crack Windscreen, who is not backward in coming forward about her opinion on vehicles and when she doesn't like something or when she does. And virtually the entire time, everybody was fine. They enjoyed it. There was no problems. Only time there is if you're at slow speeds over really rough, horrible surfaces, and then the car becomes a bit jiggly and then you're doing a bit of this, and that made people feel a bit unwell.
So you had to drive faster, yeah?
Well, yeah. One way around it was going quicker over those surfaces, but that's not always possible, particularly when you're in urban areas, speed limits and things like that. But that is just something to bear in mind.
Okay. That's the driving bit done. What about, and we've talked a bit about the exterior as well. What about the interior?
Well, it's a four-door saloon, and it's actually, it took the Horde quite comfortably.
Yeah, because there's an interesting point, because it was a saloon car, and it was you who's Mr. Hatchback and SUV and estate car. Did it actually take the Windscreen Horde and all the stuff, despite being a saloon?
Up front, you've got these lovely Alcantara seats. They just hugged you, and they were wonderful and really comfy. And, you know, I didn't want to get out of them. And as one of my children pointed out, oh, look, Daddy, there's an imprint of your bum on the seat after I got out. Thanks, son. Thanks, son. I love you dearly. So there was that. But the back seats were actually really surprisingly good at in the way that they were shaped, because the outer ones held the booster seats perfectly, and the central point and the central seat, which is usually smaller, held the eldest. But everybody had plenty of room. They could all get themselves in, and they could all attach their seat belts, the ones who were old enough to do that. And because the doors open wide, and they do open really quite wide, it was easy to get in and help people out and clip them up and let them get in themselves. It was from having people to go in the back or a family is very useful. I mean, the boot opening isn't great shaped, but this hasn't been designed with this in mind, I don't think so much.
Well, when you think about it, you've been reaping the benefits of having a performance car that is basically, well, it is completely based on a family car, because it's the same.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Sure, and I'll check this out at the start of next week. But I'm sure it's obviously the same platform as used by the Impreza, which you can still get in a hatchback form, and the Levorg as well. So, I forgot where I was going with that.
So it's based on a normal car.
Yeah, they're based on normal cars. Yeah,
the boot opening isn't the best because it does narrow. Yeah, it's a bit of an odd shaped boot lid's a bit sprightly. If you happen to throw that up,
how do you mean sprightly?
Well, it'll go back and then spring back at you if you're not careful. Keen. So you open it gently is what I'm saying. Okay. But as we have to check in every car review that I do, there were no curry hooks.
No curry hooks. How did you manage for an entire week?
It was tough.
Was it?
Mainly I coped by just driving all the time.
Oh, right. Okay.
And not stopping to buy anything.
Yes.
Except for petrol. But also what didn't help with that was that the boot floor is completely flat and there are no hooks to, you know, put even a net down or something.
Oh, right.
There are a couple of small, oddly shaped cubbies underneath the floor, but they're not really of any use.
No, they have to work around the four-wheel drive system and stuff. Mm. They're really different.
So just a couple of hooks in there would make all the difference from that point of view. My top tip to Subaru.
Okay, so that's the back seats and the front seats. So what about the dashboard and stuff? What were the ergonomics? You've already said the front seats were really, really comfortable. Did that sort of tie in with the steering wheel and the pedals?
Yeah, you
and
could.
Stuff?
It was the multi-adjustable bit, so I could get a really comfy position where I could move it in and out and up and down to exactly where I wanted it, which was great. There was quite a lot of controls on the steering wheel, as there are in any car now, and they all worked fine, and they were quite intuitive. They were following a pattern, so that was fine. There were switches on the center console for the heating, which was nice because you actually had to turn something. They're a bit plasticky, but it doesn't matter. I've heard other people make comments about the interior, and there were certain areas where things had been designed to a price, but I thought overall it was quite a nice environment to sit in. It wasn't all hard plastics or anything like that. It wasn't as though we were back in the 90s. The areas that I was generally touching, like the gear stick, the handbrake, the steering wheel, the grab handles, they're all nice enough to touch. Mm-hmm. And if there's bits that I'm touching occasionally but need to be harder wearing, then I'm not bothered about that.
Yeah, I've said before the thing about these in a Subaru is, sure, they're not, you know, sexiest, Audiest quality when it's new, but you can bet that in 10 years' time they'll look just the same.
Well, that's it. You know, I had confidence that this stuff will work and will keep working. And I think that's more important at the price. Again, we go back to the price of this car.
Yeah.
That's
under 32 grand.
Yeah. There is a touchscreen in the center console. It's quite small, though. But it's okay. It's got the sat nav in it, which was all right. And there was, you know, it wasn't mind blowing, but it was, you know, it did its job.
It was sat nav.
Yeah, I could put a destination in, and it took me to the destination on the route I thought it should take me. So that was fine. I was confident that it would do a job for me.
Yeah.
There was, you know, the usual connectivity points. So there's AUX cable, there's the USB cable, there's also a couple of 12 volt chargers, the front and back. So you can charge that way. You can also connect up via the touchscreen. You can connect up using Bluetooth. Again, the microphones picked up your voice all right, so you could do calls hands-free and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was easy enough to use. It wasn't a touchscreen that made you want to go and press it all the time or anything like that, but it just worked. So
okay, well, that's as much as you can ask for. I mean, it's a car that's about clever transmission and otherwise relatively brute forces.
That's it exactly. The clever tech is what makes that car move along how it moves along, and that was something that Mrs. Crack Windscreen said to me. She said, "I know it doesn't have much tech, but that's not what this car's about, is it?" that's not what the focus is. And it was like, no, and she's not really a car person, and she got that. So,
so the great big wing on the back probably helped point her in that direction. Yes. Right?
She loved the looks, and she loved the sound. She wasn't the only one. The kids would ask, request to for the loud pedal to be made loud. Sorry, I'll go back over that again. But yeah, the kids loved it as well. Really did. So it was. One thing that I was a little bit surprised at, and I think this is more telling in me than the car, but I was surprised there was no parking sensors.
Yeah, I'm actually slightly surprised there were no parking sensors either. When I spotted
that. And you can imagine my nervousness.
Yeah, well, that's because it's parking. Not your car. Well, the fact it's not your car as well doesn't really help.
But you know, the not knowing the full length at the back and the front, because you know, I'm not so used to it, so I would go and park in corners away from everything else. So, you know, that's, you get used to it, obviously. But I, like I say, I was surprised there wasn't even like noise sensors. Also, in the inside, there were there are a couple of screens. One in the top of the center console above the touchscreen, and one in the middle of the dashboard that gives you various bits of information. You know, the typical miles per gallon, boost, you know, typical stuff you need to know. Boost, G-forces.
Boost, otherwise known as how quickly you're emptying the tank.
Yes. pressure. where a particular favourite of the children in the back was the seeing the four wheels with indicators of where the power was going and if the wheels were steering.
And which way you were steering, yeah.
Yes, quite. So, so you know, you could geek out quite a bit on information.
I found out with the Civic Type R as well. Although it always defaulted to G-meter, which was always a bit of a waste when I was in the car myself, because surely if you're actually making the little blob go quite far across the G-meter, then you should probably be focusing on looking out the windows rather than looking at that.
Yes.
Was there anything we've missed? I don't really think there's much we've missed.
Oh, there was one bit of tech as well, which I was surprised at. But it had a hill start assist. And this was a manual.
That's a Subaru thing. Yeah.
And that was actually very useful because I did go into North Wales for the weekend. And that's how I know how practical it was, because we chucked in the Hordes stuff for the weekend, and there was room in the boot after it, you know, and that's with wellies and coats and gear and various, I don't know how we have so much rubbish.
All the other stuff that's needed to transport you and the family around.
Yes.
Were you sad when it got taken away?
Sad? I was distraught.
I thought that was going to be the case.
I had to be left alone for about an hour because I was not a happy person.
Was it? It seems to have been pretty popular with the Windscreen family. So, was it more popular than the Shogun was?
It was on a par.
Really?
Yes. It wasn't. It wasn't more popular because it was. It was for a different purpose.
Right. Okay.
However, I did suggest that perhaps we'd found our perfect two-car garage.
Yeah. I'd say so.
And that wasn't shot down in flames by any means. It would have to be three, because she said she wouldn't drive either of them.
Well, perfect two-car garage.
She'd happily
be
taken in them, but
yeah,
but not. She wouldn't drive them, so she'd have to get her own car.
Oh, there was one thing I was going to ask you, which I'd forgotten about, was that when I had the Civic, I got sort of not quite the right attention when I was driving it, not all the time. Did you have any issues like that?
Absolute opposite. I was amazed, because I was a little bit nervous from the, oh, it's one of them, is it, attitude. And
mind
not
you,
at
you were
all
in North Wales.
But this is just around the town as well, but not at all. I got let out more in this than I do normally.
All right.
And that's in my OAP Saab.
And
you could see people smiling and things like that. And I at the school gates, a couple of dads came up. Said, "Is that your Subaru? Is that your Scooby?" I said, well, but sort of, not really, but and explained. And they were like, oh, it is nice, isn't it? So it seems to be one of those cars that makes people happy, even if they're not in it.
Yeah, that's a valuable. That's a valuable. Thing.
Which is a nice thing.
Quality.
Actually.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice quality to have there in any car that it makes other people happy too, which is pretty cool. So, any one sentence summaries?
The summary. Main thing is it made me feel special. Made me feel very special and happy when I was driving it. And it reminded me something I noticed afterwards I'd forgotten is that driving can and should be fun. And it doesn't have to be, you know, ridiculous speeds to be fun, but it can be fun at the national speed limits for wherever you are. And it can be enjoyable, and it should be. And at 31 grand, I think that's a bargain.
Result. You don't get that much higher than that, really, do you?
No.
Fantastic. Well, on that note, folks, don't forget that between now and next time, you can give us any feedback and share your thoughts with the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Please don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube and to leave a review and rating on iTunes, not just for the Motoring Podcast news show, but also for Rear View. It really, as I say every week, does help. Andrew, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
The best way would be via Twitter. If you search for Crap Windscreen, you will find me there. And Alan, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Twitter again is about the best, where I'm at AJP Bradley, Bradley. We'll be back soon, but until then, I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.